Last week we celebrated the feast of the baptism of the Lord. You will remember that in the feast, despite all that John the Baptist had thought the Messiah would be, despite the protests that he made when Jesus presented himself among all the other sinners who were coming away from Jerusalem out into the wilderness, out to the river of the Jordan to receive this new life and this new possibility in the washing of the waters of the Jordan. Jesus went into the waters. Jesus was there in the very midst of the waters, associating himself, surrounding himself with all the other sinners. This week, of course, in the city of Brisbane, we have experienced this incredible tragedy and loss of the floods. And many have asked this question, where was God? Where was God in the midst of all of this tragedy, this destruction, this pain? But as we saw last week, God is present in the very persons of Jesus. And God was present as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God among us. When we ask that question, where was God? We need to turn further in our second reading this week of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where he presents that most magnificent image of the church as the very body of Christ. Where was God? Where was Jesus in the midst of this tragedy? Well, where was his body? Where was the church? And what we have seen this week in the midst of this tragedy is the beautiful and wonderful presence of God's people at work, helping out, shifting people, moving people to safety, and helping people now to clean up, to cope, to counsel them, to offer a shoulder to cry on, to offer a place where they can find the safety and the space that they need to receive the healing that all of us have experienced this week in the midst of this unbelievable tragedy. This is the sign of God's presence among us. This is the very presence of God as he has revealed himself in the midst of this incredible tragedy. But this beauty that the Lord has offered us by reminding us in the midst of this, despite all that has happened, Jesus has been here with us. Jesus was down in the waters with us. Jesus was identifying himself with us sinners, and he was there as Emmanuel. He was there to provide that life and that reassurance. What we have in our reading from the Gospel of John today is this deep sense of this new life that is possible after the baptism. It's not actually present in the Gospel of John, just like the Last Supper isn't actually present. John presumes that his readers know about the details of the baptism of Jesus, about the Last Supper. He doesn't need to go through them again. He wants to take us on a deeper place. He wants to take us into the very depths of that experience. So our Gospel today opens on the next day with John the Baptist pointing to Jesus and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." He experienced something quite amazing in the baptism of Jesus when the heavens were torn open and when the voice of the Father and the presence of the Spirit were there, when all of the Trinity were manifested in the midst of those waters, when the Lord was able to be looked upon, when John experienced Jesus as that manifestation. To understand what that means, the Lamb of God, we need to go back and look at what it meant in that time period, what it meant to experience the Lamb. And the context of the Lamb was not of a playful, placid animal. The context of the Lamb was in the sacrifice in the Jerusalem temple. But we need to go back further than that. We need to go back into the very first pages of Scripture. We need to remember that the first place where we encounter the whole concept of sacrifice is in the fourth chapter of Genesis, when Cain and Abel both offer their sacrifices on the altar of God. Later then, of course, we will have the sacrifices that are offered by Abraham when he makes covenant with the Lord. Most famously, in Genesis chapter 22, what the Jewish people call the Akedah sacrifice. You'll remember that Abraham was promised to have many descendants, impossible to count. And when finally, as an old man, he was given a son, when he was given Isaac, the Lord put Abraham to the test. The Lord asked Abraham to go and take his only son off into the wilderness and to sacrifice him there. And the Lord takes Abraham on this journey, this three-day journey out into the wilderness. And when, as they finally climb the mountain of Moriah, Isaac turns to his father and he says, "Father, here is the wood, here is the fire, but where is the lamb of the sacrifice?" And then Abraham, in this most prophetic moment, says, "God himself will provide the lamb." As the story continues, we know that Abraham is prepared to bind Isaac and to place him on the altar, to place him on the wood of the offering, and to take his knife and to raise it in preparing to strike Isaac. But at the last moment, the angel of the Lord holds back the hand of Abraham and says, "You don't need to do this." And there, in a nearby bush, is a ram caught with its horns. But note, Abraham said, "The Lord himself will provide the lamb." But it's not a lamb that's in the bushes. It's a ram. God has provided the ram in this case, but the people of God continue over the centuries to look for the lamb that the Lord will provide. And here, at the moment of the baptism, at the moment, at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." The centuries long yearning for the Lamb of God to finally be revealed is here in the very presence of John the Baptist in the waters of the Jordan. The Lamb of God is found. Finally, this Lamb has come. At the very end of John's Gospel, the Lamb of God is again presented as this perfect sacrifice, when we're told that it was the preparation day for the Passover, the day when in the temple the lambs of offering would be sacrificed. And Jesus on that day gives his life for the salvation of all. That it's that lamb when he's sacrificed, when he gives his whole life for the sins of the world, when he makes that perfect sacrifice to God, that we're able to be freed, we're able to be cleansed finally and perfectly in that fulfillment of all that John had started to do in that baptism. Then the Holy Spirit can come. And so on the first day of the new week, when Jesus is raised from the dead, when he goes to meet the disciples on the evening of that first day, when he goes to them and he says, "Peace be with you," and breathes upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit, they're able to receive that Spirit. They're able to complete that work of creation because of all that had gone before them. We also are invited to share in this very life. We're also invited to be bearers of this new creation. And how do we do that? I suspect that it's in our second reading today, the first three verses of the first chapter of the first letter of St. Paul to the church in Corinth. When Paul begins this letter, he identifies himself, "I, Paul, appointed by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, our Lord." This sense that Paul has not taken the initiative. Paul has been appointed by God, called by God, that it's God who does the calling, God who brings this sense into Paul, God who invites, and all that Paul is doing is responding. All that we are doing is responding to this call of God. All that we are able to do is to say yes to this deep call of God to be sent, to be directed, to provide this sense. This is what it is to be a Christian. We're not people who take the initiative. We're people who respond. People who hear the deep, profound call of God upon our lives. And like Paul, like John the Baptist, we point our lives towards Jesus. We orient ourselves towards that very presence of God among us. And we experience the wonder of his being with us. We experience the gift of his life being poured out, the blood being offered, the sacrifice that he makes for us. And we experience that new life, that new possibility that is only offered when we receive that Holy Spirit and that gift of new life that Jesus so willingly pours upon us. Let's experience this new beginning. Let's allow the Lord to continue to build up his church and to be for us our life, and indeed to be for us Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.